Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be back with you this Sunday. Although last Sunday was pretty good, we were just at home. It was good to be at home. I spent the week reading, and if you haven't heard yet about what I read, just ask me and I'll go on for a while and you wish you hadn't. We were home pretty much every day except for one afternoon we went to Apple Hill. Otherwise, we were home because there's no place like home. I think that's maybe what David was thinking in our reading from 2 Samuel this morning. Now, this is King David. It's the only glimpse of him we're going to get this year in the narrative lectionary. And last week, we read, or you read, or somebody read, and Pastor Bruce preached. I was at home. About Hannah, and read about Hannah and how, although she was barren, God gave her a child whom she named Samuel, and she presented Samuel to the Lord in thanksgiving for God having opened her womb. And Samuel grew up in the temple, and he became a priest. In fact, he was a priest and the last judge to serve Israel. At the time, Israel didn't have kings. God used judges to help to tell the people of Israel what they should be doing, but the people wanted a king, and they clamored for a king. They thought having a king would help to establish them as a nation, validate them in some way. You see, the people were more concerned about their national identity than they were about what God wanted for them. Eventually, God relented. God allowed them to have a king, and he told Samuel to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. But Saul was not a good king. He did not have the interests of the people at heart, nor did he follow God's instruction. As a result, God tired of Saul and prepared David to take the throne from Saul. And through a series of kind of cat and mouse adventures, Saul trying to kill David, ultimately David ascends to the throne and Saul dies. Now David is far from perfect himself, but he did love God, and God loved David. David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. Again, far from perfect. But he loved God, and God loved him. This is the same David you may be familiar with, the young shepherd boy who defeats that giant Goliath with his sling and five smooth stones. Same dude. In our reading this morning, King David has recently ascended into the throne, and in one of his first royal acts as king, he decides to move to Jerusalem and to make Jerusalem the political and religious capital or center of the kingdom, thereby helping to establish them as a nation. Up until this point, the Israelites have been on the move more or less. They've spent a few years here, a few years there, but they haven't really established themselves in a land in the way that they will in Jerusalem. They've been more tribal up until this point, and you may be familiar with the term the 12 tribes of Israel, but now with a king and a capital, they have their mind set on becoming a nation. Our reading begins. David is enjoying the splendors of his kingship. He's hanging out in the palace that he has built for himself and decides it's time to turn his attention and good deeds to God. So he begins to think about building God a home, a palace like his own. You see, every king in every nation did this. When they came into power, they've got to build a bigger house or palace than the previous king or the neighboring kings, and they've got to build a place of worship or places of worship for their god or gods. But David's plans were not God's plans. Through the prophet Nathan, God told David he didn't want or need a home. You see, Yahweh had been living among the people, guiding them through the wilderness, speaking to them through the prophets and through the judges. He didn't want to be housed in a building locked away from the people that God loves. God did not want to be hidden. No, God wanted to be seen. God didn't want the people to have to come to God. No, God wanted to be among the people. God didn't need David to build him a large, expensive, impressive temple to prove to God that David loved God. God knew that David loved him, but building a temple for God was what David wanted, not what God wanted. God was content in that tent where the Ark of the Covenant had lived for years. God's focus in our reading, God's promise to David was that he would make a home for him and his people, the people that would come after him, a place that would be safe from their enemies. God committed to establishing them as a great nation, which they took to mean meant that they would have that land forever. There they would be, and God would protect them there. However, in hindsight, through generations of scholarship assisting us in interpreting and translating what Nathan said to David on God's behalf, we come to understand that the promise God made with David was as much about God's commitment to dwell with David and David's people and to make of them a kingdom, not a nation. It was never about the land. It was never about the temple that David's son Solomon would ultimately build at great cost to the people. You see, that probably is not what God intended. When that temple does get built, if you're familiar with the story, David's son Solomon builds a temple at great cost to the people. So they had to work hard, their taxes were high in order to build that temple, and what ends up happening is the 10 tribes in the north secede from the kingdom. This kingdom that had been established now is divided forever after that. That couldn't be what God would have wanted for God's people. But you see, they were focused on their earthly expression of their love of God. See, they were tied to the tangible, the physical. They wanted to have something to show everybody else how much they loved God. And what better way to do that than a big, impressive, beautiful temple? Look how much we love the Lord. Look at this big, beautiful building. We are more faithful and faith-filled than anybody else. Just look. However, what God through David told to Nathan, what God through Nathan told to David, I think God would want us to hear as well. God's not concerned about the building, as beautiful as it may be. God's not concerned about the structure, the house, the temple. No, God is concerned about God's relationship with each and every one of us. God is concerned about God's relationship with each and every one of us. In fact, Jesus makes this clear in the Gospel of John when he says, "Tear this temple down, and in 3 days later, I will raise it. I will build it again." We know that he's talking about himself and the resurrection that was to come. Jesus, you see, came to fulfill the role that the temple had served. No longer do people need to go to a place to encounter the divine. The divine came and lived among God's people. It isn't about the building. God's home is among the people, within the people of God. So we shouldn't focus upon the edifice in any way, shape, or form to say that that proves our love of God and God's love of us. Big, beautiful buildings that people worship in with half the pews empty. Little, rundown buildings that people worship in and they're bursting at the seam. Does God love that church and those people any more than the other? Absolutely not. God loves the people gathered in God's name to worship God. This temple that will be built was in fact built by David's son Solomon. It was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. But when the people that were released from their Babylonian captivity, were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple, bigger and better than the last one, because that's what you do, right? show how much more we love God and God loves us. And my friends, that temple too was destroyed in 70 AD after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, never to be rebuilt again. Why? The people no longer have to go to a building to encounter God. For God, through the form of a man, his one and only Son came to dwell among us. We no longer have to go into a space to encounter the divine. The divine has come to dwell among and within each and every one of us. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in the 2 Corinthians that each of us, our bodies are a temple of the Lord. For within us, the divine dwells. The Holy Spirit exists within our hearts. So we want to talk about maintaining the temple. Friends, we need to maintain our bodies. I'm not a great example. But we maintain our bodies, our heart, our mind, and our soul, by worshiping God, by studying God's word, by loving God and loving our neighbors. We don't build a building to prove to our neighbors how much we love God and God loves us. We actually serve our neighbors. We love our neighbors to show how much we love God and God loves them. For Jesus came to become the new temple. And we too are that temple that is being talked about here. And we have an opportunity to live our lives in reflection of that love, to prove to our neighbors, to the world, to the community around us, that God is not dead, that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and there is new life, there is hope, even in the darkest of circumstances. Today we have an opportunity to demonstrate and bear witness to God's love as we fill out our 2025 ministry support cards. These cards represent your intentions for how you want to demonstrate to the world around you that you understand God's love for you and you desire to be a part of reflecting that love with your resources, your financial resources, your time, your body, your talents. There's an opportunity to express what your monetary intentions are for the coming year, but then also a place to fill out how you intend to serve, how you would like to volunteer, what you would like to do to support the ministries, not only here at Ascension, but the ministries that we support. In a few minutes during announcements, we're gonna hear from Kira, who's here from Loaves and Fishes. And we've been sending volunteers to Loaves and Fishes for over 30 years, serving our neighbors who are in need, the unhoused community. Countless ways that this church body has demonstrated God's love to the community around us, but the opportunities to do more, to be the temple, to build the kingdom of God here in our community. So I invite you to, as you remember to fill out your intentions with those forms, to remember the promise that God made to Abraham, the promise that God made to David, God has also made to us, that God will be our God and we will be God's people. So let's live like it. Amen.